Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
You know, it's the smile for me. You know, it's your hair for me, Maddie. It's that lamp for me. Zenob, you can't say that every other phrase. Starts to lose all its cachet. I every time she says something like that, it drives me up the fucking wall.
Love is blind.
If there was a metaphor for Zenob and Cole, it would be like in The Wizard of Oz when the wizard sails up in a balloon, but instead of sailing a balloon, when Dorothy clicked her heels, the balloon exploded into fire and it just swirled and crashed to the ground. that's where this relationship is headed, y'all.
And you know what? It's, yes, I feel like he's childish. Yes, I feel like I want to say something about this. I feel like Cole and Bartice are both practicing this kind of weird
radical
honesty. Yes, thank you for saying that.
Radical
but
honesty.
They're both doing it in very different ways.
I have a theory about that.
Okay, because Bartice to me is only doing it because it's just almost selfish. It's like he wants to say things just to see what they'll get a. And Cole's is different in a way.
I think there might be some selfishness in it.
Yeah.
Y'all, this is Love is Blind, and it's good. It's
episode
good.
5, Trouble in Paradise. The last 5 minutes of this episode, I was gooped and gagged. I was gooped, gagged.
And he was actually gagged when he was watching it because he was waiting for a gentleman to come over. So he was prepping. But also metaphorically gagged. Okay. I just want to say this. We're halfway in now about.
With this episode, we are halfway.
I think third time was the charm and they have finally nailed the formula of this show.
I think you're right. And I think this might be, as a group, the most compelling group we've had.
100%.
There are definitely, I will say, it's not all fairy tales. It's not all perfect couples. But I find each...
But not boring. None of them are boring.
I find that each of them are very interesting.
Yes.
In their own way. And I think there's enough, now that the show's out and I've seen some of the reactions, there's enough hate for certain cast members.
Yes, because so, when we recorded this, y'all, when we recorded the first 4 episodes.
We didn't know what was going to happen.
We didn't know. And so, we didn't know. And also because we have a little agreement with Netflix, they were able to give us a little preview of those. So we didn't know your reaction.
I just had to suck the Netflix icon's dick.
We did. Boom, boom,
da-dum, gong,
gong,
da-dum, gong, gong.
That's what Netflix gong, gong. Does when he comes.
Ta-dum.
That's what, boy, we are going to get a letter about that. But no, it's been really great. So that way we're able to drop these episodes just 12 hours or 24 hours when it comes out. So that way we can create
event television.
Boom. boom, boom, boom. It was together. Y'all, we're remote, but go. We're both in LA, but I just got back
COVID.
I don't have COVIDia, but I just got back from Oklahoma and I was flying and with people. And
they don't have COVID no more.
And so I just thought, we're going to do one day where I'll just stay in my house. So anyway, we're remote, but go. Yeah. And, you know, I'm glad that we actually went back and released the first season episodes because we both remembered season two pretty much. Yeah. And I think I really liked season one. I know you did too, but I think we remembered better, some parts of it better than it was. Like we forgot about Kenny and Kelly. We forgot about how boring they were. And so there's just, even though we love them as people,
right,
there's just not that, like you said, there's not one couple that's not compelling. Ugh.
And we saw how we didn't even have Diamond and Carlton for very long.
Oh, yeah, because he freaked out. Now, y'all, some things that have happened in the world of social media and zeitgeist, I think I could say is, one, there's big rumors out there. It's not true, I don't think, that because Cole's last name is Barnett. And everybody says, as we said on, I think on our show, everybody's calling Cole the new Barnett and even saying they look alike. And so now there's rampant speculation that they're actually related because Barnett is Barnett's last name.
Yeah.
You said that's a common last name.
It's a common last name before, I come from.
But I'm used to Taliaferro. So
Taliaferro.
Yeah, that's what I said. And
no, what you always said was Tarfur. That's all I ever heard.
So I don't know, but so there's that speculation. Also, y'all, we talked about this on the right, but if you're just listening to Love is Blind, Amber from season one came at us on our Instagram. That was big news. Big news.
That was fun. We put a meme up. Y'all, we didn't even go hard. And I will admit when I go hard on someone, we just wrote that where the season one couples are now. And we basically said, Amber and Barnett are happy and they're still paying off Amber's Sephora bills, which she joked about.
We literally just reiterated a joke she said on the show.
Yeah.
That's all.
And she's like, isn't it interesting when men, even gay or not? And I was like, girl, we gay. There's no not. She's like, have to put a woman down.
The only not is not in my ear, in my butt. That's right. How gay I am.
I just, honey, just own it and have a sense of humor about it.
Your reality.
You're getting nowhere by, if you want to be an influencer, play ball. That's what I need to say. You never took yourself seriously on the show.
Why do you expect everybody else to? So I think any other Love is Blind news in the world news of what's going on, I think.
I wish you the best.
I wish you the best.
When I say that, it means fuck off.
It does mean fuck off. But I think we don't have any other. That's it, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's anything that you all need to be caught up on. All right.
I did say when we have been releasing some of the memes, the people who Alexa has written us back and said, ha, 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 ha. So she seems to be pretty, Alexa said, I was fully prepared for a backlash on social media because I'm a bigger woman. But thank you so much for all of the lovely messages and feedback. And so she's been very, very happy about how it's went for her. I don't think Colleen has as much. But she's been really lovely on Instagram, too.
I like Colleen, but I can see how she gets hate.
Yeah.
I like her a lot, actually, but I can see how she gets
hate. I mean, she was the most memeable, talking about ballet constantly.
Yeah, she talked about ballet at first constantly. So.
Did you know I'm a ballet dancer? So that's hope. I think she's able to play off of that and not take it so personally. I think it's hard with reality people who are on reality shows, because you can either... I'm saying this, and I'm sure it gets hard reading hate about you constantly, constantly, constantly. But remember, they don't know you.
They don't know
They only know you as the edited versions of you. And I don't know how many reality stars are listening to this. But
none.
Yeah, probably. None, but it's just like, remember, they don't know you. Remember that's a version of you that you're a different person than that.
I think Raven was getting some hate. I saw some working out memes. It's a lot of working out memes. So I don't know.
Especially with this episode, I still think she's a bad bitch.
She's a bad bitch.
I don't necessarily like her, but damn, I love how she's just doing the show the way she wants to do it.
She's kind of like Lindsay from Love After Lockup. I think she makes good TV, and if I knew her in real life, I would be scared of her.
I feel like
at any moment she would throw me under the bus and send me out to dry.
I think she's being hyper observant, and everything she's trying to really slowly go through this in her own way.
But do you think it's in an authentic way? I think she's a clout chaser. I feel like that from her.
Oh, I think that is true. But I don't know if it's inauthentic or not. I think some people can be that, and that's them, if that makes sense.
That possibly.
Yeah. I question your use of the word inauthentic. I would say the most inauthentic person, I believe, is probably Cole. In the way I think he's doing, he's a clout chaser.
Oh, for sure. I think they're both just trying to play the game, not find love, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's what I feel like with both of them.
I would say that. I just...
And that's what I mean by inauthentic. Because
yeah.
To be authentic would mean like you're in this to try to like you, at least, who knows, but it seems like with Alexa and, my Alexa went off. Sorry. I was like, what's happening?
Is that means every time you say Alexa, that's going to happen?
Oh,
you need to turn that off because that's going to bug the shit out of me.
I don't know how to do it.
Then I guess we have to say A. We need to fix that.
Well,
I'm not going to be able to do the show. If it goes off every single time.
I can't turn it off, though, because my dad comes through it and talks to me.
Excuse me?
My dad comes through my electronics, and every time I talk about my dad, my Amazon thing goes off. Every time. Every time I talk about my dad, it goes, and my psychic said, it's my dad.
So your dad is in your electronics?
Well, you know, spirits vibrate a lot of times on the electron because they're at a different frequency.
They come through
electronics. That's very common.
I don't understand why you think it's your dad, though.
Because every time I bring up my dad, the thing beeps and goes boom, boom. It's never done that before until my dad died. Ever. Ever, ever, ever.
So, wait. Your dad, who couldn't handle working an iPad in life.
No, that's what's funny. It's a psychic. I said, do you feel like, is my dad, like, is he kind of saying hi to me? And she said, through an electronic device. I went, yes, through my Alexa. And then she laughed. And I said, what's funny? She said, he can't say the word. He calls it Lexi or something. Like, he can't, and he gets frustrated. I'm laughing at him because he doesn't like, he can't remember. I didn't tell her any of this.
It seems like in the afterlife, that information would be accessible to him.
No,
if he can figure out Alexa.
It's not. And you know my psychic's good.
Okay, I need to move on because we have to talk about the show.
I need to book a session for you so that way you can talk to your grandma.
I'm not doubting. It's just a little weird to hear you say your father comes to you through electronic devices.
He does. I believe it now. My brother does too. So, okay.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll have to fix it. Normally, I'll be doing this at your place, so it shouldn't be a problem. All right, so let's jump in. Let's talk about, I guess we're going to talk about y'all the way this episode was. We get some couples in the beginning, and then we have a group pool date, and then we have couples at the end. So that's how we're going to just kind of up this show.
It's so interesting. Just the little bit at the beginning, we get of Cole and Zenib. She says, I promise I don't look like this on the reg. And he's like, you look hot on the reg. And I wonder if there's anything he could say that she would approve of, if that makes sense, that she wouldn't neg him for.
It is. He is damned if he do, damned if he do. Because he is
frustrating.
He is saying the wrong things, but he also will always be saying the wrong things.
Yeah. It's the negging. It's the negging for everything he does. And I'm not saying nagging. I'm saying negating. In other words, she finds a negative thing to say about everything he says.
I feel like the pool was a metaphor for their relationship. She literally doesn't want to jump in the pool with him. It feels like that emotionally. Like she's always back on the sidelines and she's like, I don't want to get wet or messy into this.
And it's frustrating because, yeah, he's childish. Yes, the way he interacts with her. But after a while, he's going to get tired.
I think at first he was trying, honestly, in a way more than she was.
Yeah. I don't know what to do with her at the end of this episode. I just don't know.
Well, at the beginning of this episode, we see a little bit of the couples, like Colleen and Matt are getting on a yacht, and I go, boy, they're going to be doing great.
I was wrong.
Wow. Whoa. And the problems of the past always arise again.
We were wrong. We both, I think, said in episode 4, we're like, look at them. They're doing great. They're so in love.
Boy, we'll talk about that later.
We are always so wrong on this show, y'all.
Cole and Zenob. They are. I think we own that.
He looks hot surfing. Ooh.
You've come around to him.
I never said he wasn't attractive.
I thought he was attractive. That's interesting. Okay, never mind then.
He's a little young looking for me.
Okay,
but he's attractive.
I think he's the most conventionally attractive person on the show.
Oh, he's not Bartice in those nipples. I could just.
But you hear what I just said? Conventionally attractive. Bartice has that kind of hair and.
I have a different conventional.
That's true.
That's true. But he does.
But yes, Bartice has that terrible dangly earring that was when he was wearing that last episode. I was just like, I can't deal with the men with a terrible dangly earring.
I don't mind it.
One dangly earring? Are you kidding?
Yeah, it's a
that is the biggest red flag in the world.
Well, I'm not saying I want to date him in a relationship, but I've looking.
You need to not like those. No, those are representative of douchebags.
I mean, but when we're having sex, I just see their dangle earring going. Weep, 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 weep,
no, weep, weep, I'm telling you, weep. It is only a symptom.
You need to
get a better picker. So Cole and Zenob, they're at the beach and they're surfing, and I guess she doesn't get in the water.
That's what I'm saying. This is a metaphor for their relationship. She will not jump in the water, this relationship. And I went, girl, just get in the water with him. Get a little messy. Like, who cares? All the other women are in the water swimming. They're wet. And you.
This is later at the pool. I'm talking about the beach. But yeah.
But no, but like, even then, I was like, get in the ocean. Get in the water. Like, go. Surf, go in, it'll be cold. Y'all like splash each other. You have a moment. I would feel like my mother was just watching me swim in the beach.
It feels that way. And
Jared, don't get too close to the shoreline. There's a praying mantis over there.
Or whatever they're called.
Praying mantis.
What are not praying mantis? What are those little things that killed the crocodile guy?
What?
The thing that killed the crocodile, John Irwin, Bob Irwin.
Steve Irwin. I don't know what killed him.
He got stabbed in the heart by those things with the tails.
What tails?
Oh, something mantis, right?
You mean manta ray? Or a stingray?
Stingray, that's it.
I'm afraid you're misrepresenting what happened.
You know,
stingrays don't...
I'm from a landlocked state. Don't listen to me. If you want to talk about giraffes at Arbuckle Wilderness, I'm your guy.
We need to move on.
I realize I'm going to sit down and shut up.
So he asks, after seeing the guys, are you having any second thoughts? She's like, nope. And then she asks the same thing. And he kind of like hesitates. And that's playing. The thing about it is he doesn't realize you can't do that with her. It's the problem, and she's not going to compromise on that. She's not going to be able to play when it comes to how she feels about herself. She's just never going to be able to.
No, yeah. And that's he is always making fun of himself. And she, again, she chose someone that she thought would be good for her, But we've all done that. You choose someone that you think is going to be good for you and stretch you, but can't actually you stretch that far.
Yeah. And she, remember in the pod, she tried to be a little fun. She was trying to do that. And
she wasn't good at it.
So then she says, this is really interesting. This is when he says, she said, he's like, well, you know, Colleen, she's like, but you know, she's happily off with Matt. Again, not the thing to say to Zenib. And he does say, and this is what I'm talking about, this kind of radical honesty. This is where I feel like it is coming from a place of full disclosure that he feels is good, that he, so he won't sound like a bullshitter, because that's what he's afraid of. So he basically says, the majority of girls I've dated have looked like Colleen. Personality type wise, though, you're my type. Unfortunately, Zenib hears, I'm not attractive. I only have a personality you like. Does that mean you're not attracted to me?
I mean,
that's
yes,
what she yeah. hears. And then Zenib says, you know, I try not to be the woman who's insecure. It's her in the moment. But, and I'm like, that's never going to happen. And she said, Cole is unfiltered 1,000%. It is unfiltered, but what he's trying to do, in my opinion, is disarm her either her kind of unhelpful thoughts and the voices that are in her head, and he doesn't know how to do it, and he's just failing miserably, because I don't know what you could tell her.
Yes,
experiment's not right for her.
I think that yes, he's trying to disarm her. I also think he and Bartice both. I think probably. They didn't read The Gifts of Imperfection. They didn't read Brené Brown, but they hear like all men now want to be, quote, vulnerable. And yep. I think some men think vulnerability is being radically honest. Mm-hmm. That's not vulnerability.
That's true.
That being vulnerable is saying, I feel scared to tell you this. I
right.
feel nervous. I feel this way. It's talking about what your emotions are. How are that? Because probably if he told her, he said, you know, I don't think she still would take it well, but I think if he explained how he felt emotionally, because the way it comes off, he's trying, like you said, he's trying to be vulnerable, and he's trying to make her not worry about it. So it comes off as really callous and not caring.
Yeah.
It's not, a lot of men do this on these reality shows. They're like, vulnerability is just for me to say everything that's on their mind. Y'all,
right.
I don't think we should say everything on our mind to people we're dating.
I agree with you 100%. I think a lot of the intent of this, you say it's vulnerability. I think a lot of it is, though, because the Love is Blind concept makes them not hold anything back.
Yeah, yeah. And then they do it in the real world without a screen in front of them, and it feels weird.
However, there's a difference in saying, I'll be honest, this person was my type, but Zenib, reading the room, Zenib's not someone you can do that with. She's those are going to cause intrusive thoughts for her. I think... I want to compare and contrast Cole's radical honesty and Bartice's later, which
okay.
to me is a level unto itself.
Well, because they have their own little couple moment. Let's just skip and talk about Nancy and Bartice's moment, and then
go back to Colleen and Matt.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
because it's not in chron order. It's just in so Nancy and Bartice, y'all. They're eating pizza and drinking wine. This pizza looked good.
I love pizza and wine together.
I do
this
too.
Was a perfect date for me.
It was.
Except
so
the outside part.
Here's
I'd
the
rather
deal.
Be in a bed.
You'd rather be in a bed. I think I was liking her a little bit before you, but I can love that Nancy kind of took that whole conversation head on.
I need to say this. I don't at the first it was that she annoyed me. I think it was a fake little girl concept I thought she was trying to do. I don't feel that way now. I think that's just her. I don't dislike her as much. I now am worried for her. We've moved from, I am very worried for her emotional safety.
I didn't like that she talked about poop in a bathtub. I didn't love that.
No. But it's completely changed for me because now every time she's on screen, I'm thinking, when is she gonna go to pieces? Because she's with this guy.
Yes. And so she brings up, she said, look, I don't want my partner to ever feel disrespected. She said, and last night I felt confused.
Yeah.
She said, because she brought up a good point. She said, the Raven I saw in the lounge must be a different Raven that you saw in the pod.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for me to imagine, because the Raven I saw, honestly, and she is right, was negative a lot. And I'm confused why you would be attracted to that.
It's because there's one thing, fitness. And they talked about, she talked about what industry she was in. And that I think he actually said, we shared everything fitness related. I'm going to read this exactly. When I was in the pod with Raven, I had to bring a lot of energy. But when I was in the pod with you, you brought the energy. So it's like, whatever. He's so vapid. Boy.
He's not super deep. He does say that when I was with Raven, you were in my gut the whole time. I thought of you the whole time.
You know what's weird? That feels like a bullshit thing to say.
Again, it feels like, y'all, because we're going to talk about this later, but Bartice wants to fuck Raven.
Of course he does. Oh, my God.
Real bad, y'all. Real bad.
So let's go back to Colleen and Matt.
Sure. Yes.
She's so happy. I'm so happy. We're both so happy. Thing of things is so happy. Wait the last 5 minutes.
And then suddenly a giant falls on them and kills one of them.
Right.
Boom.
Boom.
And but Matt basically says that she's like, so when Colleen says, I think he says to her, you're in love. And she's like, of course I'm in love. And Matt says, you know, what's going to happen when we get back to Dallas, blah, blah, blah. And then he's talking about, there's a little bit of uncertainty here when Matt says, are you one of those girls who isn't okay with being taken? Which basically says, are you one of those girls who would go cheat on her boyfriend?
Yeah. Because he said, how are you going to respond when you get hit on?
Yeah, boy, that was the first instance we've seen of him being a little iffy. And I went, ooh.
Well, y'all remember.
He was cheated on.
Yeah.
But again, I understand that may be a reason. It is still no reason to treat anyone like that.
It's not. But I think you understand
where it comes from, but still.
I feel like, I mean, could you say it feels controlling? Maybe, but I feel like this is coming more from trauma of wanting to make sure he's going to be okay.
He's projecting this onto Colleen. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you forget about it, you're like, is he trying to control her? I don't think this is a control. This is, projection and him just wanting to make sure he's safe.
And I did not like the phrase that she called him, you're my security blanket.
Oh, man, that's not.
And I think he liked it.
Like Linus from the fucking Peanuts?
Yeah, this show is so interesting because it goes from it's all in the editing, y'all, because it is this dictator who's editing this show. Holy fuck!
They even have goblets on the yacht. And Matt said, "Now you know my story with my pastor." And she's like, "I know, I know what you all. This was the best foreshadowing." She said, "I know what you went through," and she's like, "And I don't have to worry. I know that hurt you so much. I don't have to worry about you looking at other girls." And he's like, oh, I'm so in love. She said, I'm so in love. Let's kiss.
So, Alexa and Brennan.
I still don't know what to think about them. I still can't get a read on them. Even when they both say they're in love, I don't believe it fully. There's a part of me that feels like there's holding back.
I understand that. You know what I will say? They probably have less screen time with them than anybody else. It's really interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't know if they're trying not to show us some things, or maybe they just, that's not just that interesting.
Maybe.
But it's a similar thing happened with Iana and Jarrett last season. They didn't have a ton of screen time in some episodes. And we didn't know why that was, but We'll see. Anyway, y'all, they're basically, Brennan says, I'm nervous about living together in the future because they're talking about being messy and blah, blah, blah. These are all very, to me, secondary topics about learning how to live with one another now that they love each other.
But
comparatively to the rest of them.
But what the reason why they're discussing this, because it is solidified that there is a mutual attraction to one another.
Yes.
And so that when you don't have that in a couple, of course, that is going to be the main. So it does feel like they don't, quote, have problems because they got over the big hurdle
right.
that a lot of these other cast members have not gotten
Cole
over yet.
And Zay and SK and Raven, they're right there.
And it's interesting because in past season, Love is Blind, except for most of them had maybe Kelly and Kenny, but most of them had an attraction. They just didn't know if they were right for each other.
Right.
Where this is very much like a base level of, do I want you to stick it in me and be with you for the rest? That's what we're talking about.
I'm telling y'all, if I was ever on the show and it didn't match up for what I wanted at the unveiling, I would go, you know what? It's been fun.
You would. You would.
I would be. I'm still waiting for that. I'm still waiting for that moment.
We're going to have that 1 year where we have like six couples. We're like, we're going to have six couples that go on. And then one's going to like jump out. And then, yeah.
Just goes.
But she does come talk to him about his clothes. And she's like, I'm going to dress you up. And, you know, and you're going to wear different outfits. And he says in the moment, he's like,
that ain't happening.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. And she's going to figure that out real quick.
If that's the biggest issue they have, great.
I think family stuff is going to be harder for them.
There was a clip that was released with him talking to her father. And he has like a knife out.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
And there was a little bit. That's it. So we talked about Nancy.
They're in Malibu now, y'all. They're all together in Malibu.
It's the pool party.
And y'all, guess who's back?
Oh, what do you mean? Wait, can I get a drink?
Yeah, why don't you go get yourself an iced tea, Poodle?
Okay.
And
yeah.
I'm just going to.
Iced tea with some vodka.
What's that on the screen? Oh no.
Hi, everybody. No. It's your favorite pool rainbow unicorn. My name is Gerald, if you didn't know. Miss Gerald, if you're kind.
Kind? Oh, hi, Gerald. Hi. Boy, Gerald.
It's so good to be here again. A lot of things have happened since I've been
Gerald,
away.
You really have been. Do you have your Screen Actors Guild card now at this point? Because you
know,
just...
I do, and I've been looking at a lot of opportunities that are available to me. I've always wanted to direct.
Okay.
And I finally got a chance to do that. Okay. I have a deal. I have a deal at CAA. So,
oh, it's, yeah, okay.
What's your deal like? Do you have one?
I don't want to tell you. I don't really want to.
Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry.
I'm interested.
How long have you been here in Los Angeles?
Unicorns aren't supposed to be mean, Gerald, or make you sad. They're supposed to make
you
happy.
Oh, you're right. This industry, it's hard.
And what kind of movie are you wanting to direct? Is it going to take place in a pool with a lot of men?
You know, I prefer males in a pool are something I have experienced with. I would much rather prefer lots of female horses.
Really?
In a pool. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. My wife doesn't really approve of me being there.
Okay.
So I'm never in the pool with them. It's a little hard. It feels like I'm out of my element not being in a pool.
Are you in the bedroom or in the lounge with all of the horses' husbands?
That's usually what happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Gerald.
But it's a short film. Called Too Many Horses.
It's
because there's
literal.
Too many horses in the pool. You get it?
Yeah, there's too many. Yeah, it's
and
literal.
Like they're like swimming all over each other. They like, got their hooves and stuff, and they're hitting the other horses.
And there's
too many horses.
Is there a metaphor then for all the too many plot lines? Is it a metaphor?
Not familiar with that term, but my agent Brandon. Says I need to go because I have a meeting with very soon with the man who wrote Murder Street.
I'm gonna be on a new procedural call murder streak.
Great. Well, Gerald
Funagawa.
Okay. Good luck to you, Gerald. I hope we don't see you anymore.
Wait, but I need to talk about my Love is Blind experience.
Okay, real quick.
Raven rode me, and I had the time of my life. Oh,
I mean, Cole was sitting up on you a lot.
He felt good, though, I gotta tell you. His little sinewy body and his, like, recently shaved chest, it was kind of rubbing up on me, a little bit of pressure.
Uh-huh. Don't
but
say the word.
But I was fine. Okay, back to my wife. Fine.
Back to your wife. Please don't say the word sinewy again.
You know, I got to go.
Okay.
For my feature. Too many sinewy horses in the pool.
I think Poodle's standing behind you, just glaring at you, Gerald.
Okay,
you better leave.
I'm going to go. I need to go to the Ivy, and we're going to go have lunch with Gina Davis.
Oh, that's not a dated reference at all, Gerald. But thank you so much for coming today.
And they go to Kitson. Bye.
Wow, that's all closed.
What all right. That?
I think Gerald
is he
off his meds.
He's beat by the fame bug.
I think he's off his meds. And, y'all, Gerald the Unicorn, he keeps making an appearance. Who knew?
It's everywhere these days.
It really is like they're like, someone says, Rachel, we're going to have a pool scene. Get that unicorn.
Get that. Gerald. I would have invested in him if I would have known it'd be so popular.
Whoever owns that unicorn is rich from the rights.
I don't think anyone owns Gerald. I think
Gerald had to be trained.
Yeah, it's true. So y'all, Nancy, this is what's, you can tell Nancy's losing it a little bit. Because, and it's interesting because I think the worst part about this is now that she's thinking Raven is the problem. That's the saddest thing about
it,
y'all.
She's thinking that because Raven was fucking shady and a little bit standoffish and kind of aloof from her in the lounge.
Right. That is true.
So remember, because I remember you said, like, Raven's going to claw her eyes out. So instead of that, Raven now, as we find out, says she doesn't really care. I don't know if I believe that fully, but that you're right. Nancy's still fixated on that, and she realizes that Raven's not the problem at all.
Oh, God. It's so interesting. She says, what I don't like that Nancy's doing, and I can only imagine she was probably talking to everyone in the cast about Raven.
Oh, I'm sure. 100%.
And Nancy and SK are talking. And like, so we're Scorpios. Raven's not an affectionate person, is she? And I was like, and he's like, well, really? That's one of the first couple things I learned about her.
And he's like, well, you know, she's like, I don't care about you. I don't care about you.
Raven.
I'm talking about Raven.
Because I need to kill her. What's Raven like?
I am honestly.
I felt sorry for her because that's all she can think. Ooh.
I remembered Raven. I forgot SK was there. I did. I forgot he was there.
You know what? The thing about him.
I like him.
I see him trying to. He's not a good fit for the show, I don't think. You can see his personality, but I think when he does try, and later in the episode he does try, he tries a little too hard. And I think he's probably a great guy.
I think so too. He's hot.
I think he's very attractive.
Yeah.
I just don't think he's Love is Blind kind of top five.
He's not messy. You got to be messy.
And
you got
to
be
messy. You have to be a little messy to do a show like this.
And that was a little bit of Kenny. Kenny was too put together for season one.
What's weird is if you go back to someone like Lauren and Cameron. Lauren was a little messy. Cameron wasn't.
Well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say Cameron wasn't messy, but he was so in love with Lauren
that
the thought of her not accepting him would destroy him.
Right. And we saw that. We saw that connection right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that took away all of that. So this is someone who I'm trying to think. All the men in season two were messy. All of them were, yeah. Yeah. And
we can go good.
And this is the one where it's like, he's not really showing us the camera. He might be a little bit worried about the cameras being there. I'm not sure. Or he's just having a hard time kind of being himself on screen.
I will say, though, it is more interesting when he's with Raven because she's so Raven. And
she's so Raven because that's so Raven.
That's so Raven. But she's so kind of all over the place or seemingly all over the place that it's like you wonder how she's going to react to him. So, but
when, right.
But so Nancy's talking to him about that. And so, but SK says, you know, he said, I feel like we had a great conversation yesterday. And he said, there is starting to be sexual tension there. He's like, there's a good amount of it there. And I wrote, is there?
I wrote the same thing.
Because I don't see it. So
now, what we did get a little bit from Alexa talking to Colleen is it took a moment for the whole sex thing, like 2 minutes of him jamming it in. There are two ways to look at this.
No, I know what. It's a big
dick. What?
It's a big dick.
It's a big dick.
It's a big dick. Yeah. Yeah.
I think we called that.
Gay.
But now it's like, whoa,
whoa, whoa. Whoa.
You know why?
I did not.
Because you know what she did?
Ghost train's coming. She wrote that ghost train love line style. You know what he looked like? She still rode that girth train. Took a while to get it in.
Took a while, patience, patience.
Took a while to get it in through that tunnel, but it got there. And then it's like, whoa, it's like, whoa,
whoa,
it's like,
whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa,
whoa,
girth train.
Woo.
That is our first remote girth train.
Remote, and I think our first Love is Blind girth train.
I think so.
I think so.
So she's very happy with the sex element, y'all, it
yes,
seems like.
She said it all took a bit, and they said they're good now. Then we have Xanab is like, I'm not going to get in the water. I'm going to be a wet dog. And I can't say this enough when I'm like, this is a metaphor, girl. Jump in, take a risk on this.
And how can you know you're on television and be that much of a wet blanket?
Or not wet blanket, but yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's,
it's not.
But I can tell you why. When you're so insecure about how you look, unfortunately.
So
and that's, it's so interesting that we thought the trauma was going to come from her grieving teen years. We thought it was going to be kind of the trauma of loss and not knowing, but it turns out her appearance is much more, and maybe I'm sure they're related, but boy, that's the minefield you're
it's
having to walk through.
Interesting too, because I think she's fucking
she's
gorgeous.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. So it is, a lesson, but I don't think she listens, but if she does, I'm like, Xanab, you are unbelievably, you're a 10 out of a 10 for me. I think she's unbelievably
I agree.
Gorgeous.
And you don't, honey, you don't have to try. You don't have to try so hard.
You don't.
I
think it's wrapped up in her age too. She feels old.
She's 30.
I know. But no, but she is similar to like Jessica in her age was all really in her head.
Right.
And she's doing kind of the same thing that Jessica did with Mark. Although that drunk dog did look at Jessica and say, you are old, Mom. Give me some more wine.
Give me some Cabernet.
Give me some Cabernet.
Oh. Yeah, but some Woodbridge. Let's talk about the craziest moment in this pool party. And that was Bartiz talking to Raven. I think we need to do something right now. We haven't done this. What? Is not a Reality Gaze theater, as it were. We're going to do a Reality Gaze reenactment.
Oh, okay. I don't.
Where I think we're going to read exactly what was written. I think I wrote down most of what was written here, most of what was said.
Raven said a lot of things, but I think I wrote it all down. So I think I have it. She said, wow, she said a lot. Okay, I'll try.
Because this is not a gay's theater, y'all, because honestly, what was said...
what's better than what we can make up.
Is needs to be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so y'all, exactly. these are two trained actors. Not really. reading a transcript of what actually happened.
Lawrence Olivier.
And Sir John, good blowjob.
Mm-hmm. Reenacting. And Poodle will be playing Bartiz with his hot fucking nipples in his chest.
He
looks so hot. And then
it's a shame it's attached to Bartiz.
Oh, I'm still into it, but I agree. I make bad choices. And then let's talk about Raven. I'll be Raven, I mean. And again, I hope I get all the lines. Don't yell at me. And action?
How are you doing, Raven?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's comfortable to see you face to face. It's comfortable.
Yeah, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's good. You look good. You know, don't you think that we had like a crazy emotional connection? Like it was like, seriously, it was crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when I saw you in person, I was like super impressed. I was like, atta girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, on paper, we're like 100% a perfect match, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would we even do? Like, the world couldn't handle us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, like, Nancy and I have this, like, emotional connection. You know Nancy, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, like, you and I, like, people would look at us and say, we're stunners.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
And like that other girl, what's her name? Nancy. Yeah, that's who I meant.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I but you know, so it kind of works between us. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you didn't work out.
Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals.
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Manny, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be a $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cut my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that it would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think mm-hmm. We would meet in person?
I mean, like, I don't go up to girls. So.
Stop talking.
And this is the part where you say, you don't go up to girls, but I don't go up to boys.
Oh,
didn't write everything down. Thing.
Yeah. She said, you don't go up to girls, but I don't go up to boys because, you know, because I'm pretty.
Oh,
why would I?
Oh, so,
I don't go up to boys.
So, but like,
I would never go up to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a good talk.
Mm-hmm.
All right, later.
Mm-hmm.
And scene. Couple things you missed.
But she really didn't say a lot.
No, she didn't. She also said
the whole time.
She also said.
She said more in her in the moment afterwards, but she
right.
really was
she
just.
Said, she said, what is it? I feel like we don't have a lot of compatibility with what we want in a partner.
Yeah, she does say that. And she does say that emotionally she feels like it's growing between her and SK. She
right.
says that. And she says in the moment, she kind of says, and she said it and I went, oh, bitch, you right, girl. She's like, I'm not super flattered because he never had all these comments for the Raven in the pod. He's just talking about the physical Raven.
No, she roasted and ghosted him.
Roasted.
She destroyed him.
She was like, yeah. And she's like, she did say to him, she was like, she also said to his face,
I wrote,
like, yeah,
I stand Raven.
She said, yeah, I feel reassured with that. She's with SK. She's like, I don't think we're compatible. And
then,
you see his face kind of fall.
Oh!
And he goes, oh, and she even said, I'm so confident about that. I'm so confident about that. And you see him go, and you see that he just kind of wants to dunk his head into the water
yeah.
and just have bubbles come up and swim
then
away.
The last thing she said to him was, I don't know what we say to each other in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, she said it a little bit, y'all. She really, for most of this conversation, just went,
And this is, you said you weren't sure if she would still hook up with him. I don't think she would. I think she doesn't think he's even worth a hookup.
No, I don't think so. Well, she said actually at the end afterwards, in the moment, she said, I'm not interested at all. From the bottom of my heart, it is not a thing for me.
Yeah.
So, because I think
so this
still,
isn't going to be a Mallory Jarrett thing. Thank goodness.
No. I do think, but is it going to be a Raven and SK thing? No. She's going to walk away. She's walking away a winner. That's what Raven
walking
does.
Walking away a winner.
Can't tell ya.
So, Alexa has a moment with Cole where he's like, it's not perfect. She's not the first girl that I'd pick out and say she's hot.
I don't think she's gorgeous. But she's pretty.
And Alexa's like, whoa, I didn't really even ask.
Alexa's like, yeah, she's like, she said, I didn't even press him. He just started to tell me shit. And suddenly she said, it's tea time and I'm having tea. God, I
and
love her.
She basically says, I'm not head over heels yet. I love her, but I'm not head over heels yet. This is the thing with him. He has to, this thing where he has to tell everyone how he's feeling. And I think he's 25?
Yeah, 25. He's young.
Yeah.
So there is in that, I don't mean this as an excuse, but it does when you think about his age, especially being a white straight man at his age, he doesn't really have to go through life and think about how his words affect people.
How would you compare this to the Raven and Bartice? To me, it seemed like Bartice was just bragging. That is where he is filtering his honesty through.
I think interesting that you saw it as bragging. I saw it as, to me, I felt like he was trying to, I thought he was trying to almost extend an not an olive branch, but extend a leaf to her to show in a, in like a path, not a passive aggressive, but to show in a not an obvious way that he's interested in her. I think to me, it felt like he was using the experience to flirt.
I agree, but he was doing it through, we're both hot, right?
But he's doing it through, I get it. I totally get it, where it seems it comes off as bragging. And yes, there is bragging to it. But he's saying it because he wants to keep saying how hot she is.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
And letting her know how hot he thinks she is. But he doesn't want to say, you're so hot, you're so hot, you're so hot, I want to fuck you, I want to fuck you. He keeps bringing it. You know, Cole kind of did the same thing later on with Colleen of like, I'm going to talk about this. Like, we're on the same page, right? We're on the same page. So I'm not hitting on you. I'm just talking about how we're on the same page.
Right.
And Raven was like, yeah, no, you're hitting on me. And I'm not into this at all.
Right.
That's how I took it. Yeah. But where Cole, it's like he wants, it is different. And I think in that Cole almost feels like he's trying to get validation from other people.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
To say, to them go, yeah, I get it. That's okay that you're not really fully into her. And everybody's going, yeah, no, that's not good. That's
right.
Not good.
What did you think about Cole talking to Colleen? Like what he basically says. Cole says,
he's flirting with her so badly.
Cole says, is everything perfect for you guys? Colleen's like, yeah, it's kind of like, when are we going to find a hurdle? So she's not really flirting back with him.
She's really not. And it does, going back what happens at the end of the episode, it's kind of like, I almost wish Matt would have seen this, because it isn't like she's flirting with him at all. Where it actually feels like Cole, honestly, I think even more than Bartice, it was so obvious that Cole is so attracted to her and wants to be with her.
Right.
Maybe not in a relationship, but
I don't think
he wants to have sex.
He was going
to
make a move on it, though, because he knows he can't.
He's not making a move on it, but I feel like he was doing everything but telling her, yeah.
That's what I thought. That's what to me is the difference here. Bartice was almost planning on finding a way to hook up with Raven.
I feel the opposite. I felt like Cole was being more aggressive in flirting than Bartice.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think they both were being pretty shameless, but I felt Cole came off stronger.
I think it's all talk with him. That's what I'm talking about. Bartice would like his to turn into action, if that makes sense.
I don't know if action happened if Cole wouldn't turn it down.
Interesting. I think he's too afraid of fucking this up, though.
I don't know.
The work he's put, supposed hyperbolic work.
Maybe it almost.
I don't think Bartice is just really. I think he's not that deep.
He's not that deep. And I do feel like it does seem like Cole would have more guilt if he did something.
Right. That's where I am with it.
But I still think he would do it.
Interesting.
Because he's still a fuckboy.
I think he would flirt, but I don't think he'd go through with it.
Oh. They're having dinner. They're off in a nook having wine and they're talking. He would kiss her.
Here's why I say that. The religious aspect of it.
Everybody fucked at Falls Creek. The religious ones are the worst ones.
I'm just saying it's, I think they're.
They even played that music. To me, the editing was telling, because the music, after they had their conversation, they played that song. You're such a bad.
Right.
It plays into all that.
I agree with you. I think even he says, I'm physically in love with Colleen, but emotionally in love with Zenob. And I think all of that is him saying, this is good for TV. That's why I don't think there'll ever be anything between him and Colleen. I don't see it.
I don't know. We're usually wrong.
True. But I just, it's not that I'm trying to say he's a stand-up guy, because I don't think that. I just think ethics might get in the way with what he should do on television.
Maybe. I think especially if Colleen reciprocated, he wouldn't be able to say no.
Really? Okay. Well, let's put a pin in that, because I want to figure out what happens with that.
So, She said, and so they have their conversation, and we're going to talk about their conversation more kind of in, as we talk about the couples. Anything else from the party?
That's it.
Okay.
Raven and SK later, I have.
I mean, they're having a couples massage.
Yeah, y'all know how I feel about those.
I don't love them either. And he's rubbing oil on her. We kind of have this moment where SK feels like they're coming together, and Raven actually says to him, yeah, I think I really feel like I'm falling in love with you.
Yeah.
Again,
I don't know if I believe it.
I don't believe it because her body language, y'all, they were kind of close, and he was like holding her in the pool.
Yeah, because she
did
can't
you notice
swim.
That she kind of pushed herself away
yes,
from him.
Yes, I saw that. I
when
saw that.
She was saying, I'm falling in love with you. So her body language is telling me I'm not in love with you at all.
I did not buy it. I think she's physically into him.
Yeah, it's hot.
I think it was okay for her to kiss him, but when it was the more intimate moments of whether saying, like saying, I love you, which he said first, I think she actually wants him to make a big move. And I think that's probably the most disappointing thing for her.
Which she said he's doing more.
Yeah.
But she wants him to make a big move. And honestly, she needs someone who's a little bad boy.
Yeah. He's just not for her.
He is the farthest thing from a bad boy that it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Again, she thinks it's like Zenib. She thought she wanted someone. She thought she was trying to find someone who would be good for her. It would make her open up to do certain things. That's not what she needs.
And I think she does need a smart person. And I think she realized probably the reason she didn't want Bartice is, like you said, he's not that deep. So I kind of feel like she was like, well, I want to continue on the show. And SK was the best person to choose, if you honestly think that's what I think.
Yep, I agree. Yep.
That's what I think.
I'm still, every time she's on screen, I just stare at her. And because I just want to wonder what's going on in her head.
Oh, yeah. She's going to fuck him over, y'all. Ooh.
I don't even know how far emotionally they'll get. I don't know.
And I don't know how much emotion he will show. Whereas, right. Let's talk about Nancy and Bartice. So,
God.
So this is after the fact. All the couples kind of go in there. And so there's Nancy says, Hal was talking to Raven. And Bartice keeps saying, he keeps saying that line. I mean, if you look at us, it makes sense. And I wrote down, stop saying that, you idiot. Stop it.
Question. Why do you think he's saying that?
He's saying that because I think he says it for two different reasons. He said it to Raven because he wanted her that was him letting her know, I think you and I make sense.
Right.
I think when he says it to Nancy, I'm not fully sure why he says it to her. Maybe it's possibly he feels like she would know, and he's like, if I'm radically quote unquote honest about it, she won't think that I think it. Sometimes people say like,
no, it's his massive ego. It's all about because he has to say things like that, like because he actually, strangely, he's insecure, like, and that act of, and that's. He is the kind of big person in the room who's always kind of vain and talking about himself. And he thinks that impresses her. That talk like that impresses her because it impresses to talk that way.
There's a bit of where he kind of feels like he's talking to her like, but I chose you.
But it doesn't read that way.
No.
And it doesn't make her feel that way at all.
No, I meant that in a negative way. A negative way like, I'm so great, I chose you.
Okay, so then...
That's very different.
Bartice says, and it's interesting that he brings this up. Do you think Raven and SK would say yes? And you're like, why would you bring this up? It's such a weird moment. And she's like, oh, I think so. Obviously, Nancy, you have not been watching them. But I think she would probably think no, but I need to tell him, yes, they're perfect for one another. Because, y'all, she knows. She knows.
And Nancy said, if we had the wedding right now, would you say yes?
And she said, well, yes.
Oh, wait. Did he asked her.
No,
he asked
this
her
is,
that.
I want to say what he said right before this. This was crazy to me. And y'all,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
a
yeah, yeah.
Boy is already making his exit.
No, he is. He
and is. Listen to this. He says, my biggest fear is that we will fizzle out. I can't identify a reason. I'm just worried.
Well, no, he said before I can't identify, he said, I worry we fizzle out. He said, because I have fallen in love and then it fizzled it out. So basically he's saying for him, it fizzled out. And he said, that's what he said. And I don't know the reason for why that's happened. I can't figure it out. And that's when I went.
What is she supposed to do with this information?
Danger, 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 Will Robinson.
And then, and I said, this is terrible. This is terrible radical honesty. This is radical honesty in the guy. This is radical honesty, but it's not. You think it is, but this is actually him bullshitting you with what he thinks is with what he thinks is honesty to basically use it later on. So he can say this is his collateral he's putting out.
Yeah,
there.
It's weird. Yeah, it's not
so shitty to do to her.
It's not an honesty, but it is for when what he'll say is, well, I told you this happens a
yes,
lot.
Yes, that's
I
what
warned
I'm saying.
You. Because this is what a lot of guys do. This I'm preventing me from being a bad guy.
He's creating his exit already.
For sure. For sure.
And y'all, then he says, you know, if we held a wedding now, that's what he says. If we held a wedding, you would say yes. And he goes, really?
I would say yes. Sign me up.
Really?
Yes. Sign me up. I just want you.
Even though we've never gone through any challenges. Like,
she's like, nope,
what?
I just want you. And he looks at her and he has tears in his eyes. I don't believe it. But no, I don't think those are, because I actually agree with you. I actually don't think Bartice is very arrogant. I think he's very insecure. And I think that those tears in his eyes of a person who's fucking in a way scared because they're like,
maybe
I don't want to do this.
If I'm going to get a favorable opinion of him, he'll have to grow up a lot.
I don't mean
that
it's a favorable opinion. I just mean like,
yeah,
I don't think there's more to me arrogance and also not always, but it would make it sound like if he has arrogance that he's also calculating. I don't think he's calculating. I agree with you when you say, I feel like this is all coming from insecurity. And
I think they're two sides of the same coin, though.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And I don't think you need calculating to be arrogant at all.
No, you don't have to.
I think this is a posture he always uses.
I just don't think he's smart enough to be calculating.
I'm not saying he's calculating.
So
I'm saying he's already used his fuckboy ways, though. He's already trying to distance
himself. Fuckboys are subconscious. I mean, and Cole's doing the same thing. He's already distancing himself from Zenob as well.
Yeah. And especially in the last little bit.
Yeah.
So,
Alexa and Brennan are the best.
At the pool. We're the fucking best. He's excited for the next step. And then he's like, what's something about home that you're scared about? And she said that people won't respect my decisions that I made.
That my family won't respect it. And she's like, they're sitting, she's like, I kind of love you. And he's like, how much? And she's like, 6/8. And he's like, that's
more than, which is 3/4.
And she's like, what's your biggest turn on? And he goes, you. And kind of looks at her. It was kind of freaky. And I was like, okay, give us specific.
I feel,
it's his response. Like, I do feel like, Brennan doesn't get into specifics. I feel like he wants to make sure everything's okay, and he wants to be, I think he's a bit of a people pleaser, and I think that she's going to get tired of that because she's going to need for him to be real with her.
I think he's just so fucking in love with her that there's no way around it.
I think he is in love with her, but I think that he needs to, like, she can go, I think she can go deep quickly, and he needs to go there for her, or it's not going to be sustainable for her because she's going to feel there's not a realness to the relationship.
Let's talk about Cole and Zenob. I wrote so much here because it was absolutely brutal.
Wasn't good.
So she's just kind of staring at him in bed. Again, I don't know how to help her here.
It's interesting with Zenob and Cole and then Colleen and Matt, like things happen that we didn't see.
Right.
We don't like that, y'all. We don't like that on a reality show. We want to see things.
Y'all, she asked him at the pool to rate her.
Why didn't we see? Maybe they just weren't filming, but she said, rate me.
Oh, my God. What do you say?
Well, you don't say you're a 9 out of 10 and that Colleen is a 10 out of 10, which is what Cole said.
That is exactly what you don't say. Now, Poodle, how would you have gotten out of this?
Before you do that, I want to ask Poodle, what would you have said if you were dating a guy and he said you were a 9 out of 10, but that some other beefcake WeHo guy there was a 10 out of 10?
I would have murdered the other person. So I would be the only 9 out of 10 there. Take out the competition.
You wouldn't murder your boyfriend. You would make him suffer for the rest of
the life. No, I think 9 out of 10 is great.
That's true. We're not Zen.
This is an unwinnable argument. Because if he had said 10 out of 10, she would have said, you're a liar.
And well, honestly, I would have said, babe, you're a 10 out of 10. I would have said you're a 10 out of 10. And if she said you're a liar, I would say, I'd honestly turn it back on her and say, it's hard for me when you ask me things and I tell you things and you don't believe me. It makes me feel like you're never going to trust me.
That's not what he could do at that pool party, but yeah.
No, he couldn't, but that's what I would say.
But I'm saying, if someone had asked me this, rate me, I would have pretended to drown.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's what I would have done. Because yeah, there's no way to win with this. It was the wrong answer. What he was trying to say is, like he keeps trying to say, giving you a 9 out of 10 saying, this person is more my type, but you're the one that I chose. In his logic, that is a compliment for her.
It's the same thing. It is very similar, like Bartiz. Like, he's saying the same type of thing. It makes sense for me to be with her because she's, quote, what's worse, Bartiz doesn't actually say Raven's hotter than you. Cole actually says it makes sense for me to be with the person that's hotter than you, but I chose you. So
no, Bartiz says it makes sense for me, but that's what he said.
But he doesn't say, he doesn't pointedly, he says it makes sense, but he doesn't actually say, but Raven is way hotter than you, Nancy. Like he never said that. Oh. Where Cole is literally saying,
9 out of 10, 10 out of 10.
You're a 10, 9 out of 10. Like, it's so the dumbness of this man to say this and not think that it's going to not hurt this woman. And the fact that he kind of sat there in bed saying, but what do you want me to say? I'm being honest. And I'm going, how fucking stupid are you, dude? Like, it's a dumb move.
It's this radical, stupid, stupid radical honesty they're all trying to do. And then she says, no, those are issues that I need to work through. And it's like, oh, God. And then...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
I wrote down, number one, the question shouldn't have been asked at that point.
I agree that she should not have asked
and
that.
He should not have said that answer. and then she's like, I hated hearing that. And then he said, this is the worst thing to say to women or to anybody. I don't like you when you're mad. Y'all, don't say that to your partners. It only makes the other person madder.
Yeah, don't say that. Don't say that to Poodle.
No, I'm going to fucking bite your head off. I'll show you mad.
He's also is lying to her because he's telling her, I don't have any feelings for her, when it was so obvious he was fucking flirting with her so hardcore at that pool.
It's interesting. You say feelings. I don't think you need feelings to flirt with anyone.
But he says, but he does though. I agree with you. You don't have to have feelings to flirt with someone, but then maybe we're conflating the words attraction and feelings, semantic, but she wants to know, do you have attraction or feelings for her?
Attraction and feelings are very different things.
I think in this case, they're not. I think when Cole says, I don't have feelings for her, then you wouldn't flirt with her because what he's also saying, because by flirting with her, he's saying that to me, if I really have feelings for someone else, I'm not going to flirt with someone else at a pool party because I'm tied because I have feelings, attachments to another person.
I guess this is a different kind of scenario because these are people who did make emotional connections together.
Yes, it's true. But Zeynep isn't looking at it like that now.
I agree with you. I would not do that with Zeynep, but
she's
not seeing
the complexity of this at all. It's all black and white for her.
I don't think it's fair to conflate feelings and attraction.
But I do think he lied to her when he said that. When he said, I don't have any... I thought that was bullshit.
We will have to disagree there.
No, agree to disagree. You just proved your own self wrong. You said because they're in this experiment where they develop feelings for one another. So he said that he developed feelings for her in the pod. So suddenly, within a week, now he doesn't have feelings for her anymore?
Well, that's he was the one who broke it off.
But he can't tell Zeynep that. He can't say, I do still have feelings for her that are residual from the pods because she couldn't handle that either.
I just think that for a guy like Cole to talk to a girl like Colleen, who he has obviously an attraction to, I think it is very easy for him to say, I have no feelings for her.
Mm-hmm.
And I would believe him. Because he's in this experiment with her. He's spending so much of his time talking to all the other people saying, I want this to work. Why would he, I take issue with your thing that he has feelings for her.
But we disagree. You don't think he was flirting with her at the pool party. And I think he was very,
I think
very
he was flirting. I said that.
So
what I'm trying to figure out, I think that he could say I was flirting with her, or not really mm-hmm. flirting. I was talking to her and flirting with her, but it wouldn't be the same thing as I'm thinking about another woman. Mm-hmm. Feelings to me are different. The way he is having feelings, because I think it's physicality versus emotionally. And he even said that I'm emotionally in love with Zeynep. I'm physically, Colleen's my type. He's mm-hmm. being radically honest about that. So it's either we take him for that or we don't.
Yeah, I don't believe him.
That's fine.
Yeah, I don't
but I'm him. Saying that's just what he's... So he's being super clear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't think Bartiz is being clear about it at all.
But I do think, though, if you saw him at the thing, I think what's not clear is he's saying one thing, but his actions are muddling it.
Which actions?
Because of looking like he's, I mean, just the way he was looking at her and smiling and like feeling awkward, like it, you could tell they were, which is what I think then Matt responds to later as well. That they're, both of these couples are just talking about the words, but now, because they're just worried about what people said, but they're also not, and maybe they just don't have the words for it, but also it was the way. It was out of any couple at the pool party, when they talked, you could feel kind of the electricity between them.
Right. Well, I agree with you with those two. Why do you think Nancy didn't come down on Bartiz that hard? I think why do you think she saw him talking?
Yeah. And it was this, but again, Raven didn't give it back, but yeah, you could see he was so obviously flirting.
Yeah.
I think Nancy is more secure than Zeynep, and that's why I don't
think
she...
That's a good point.
Yeah. But I don't know, Sissy's, yeah, let us know what you think. So
I think what's happening here, I think I think Cole is desperately trying to play this experiment as long as he possibly can.
100%. And that's what it's all about. It's how long do I stay on this show?
And I think he's hyper aware. And which one of his strengths, because he's a real estate salesman, for God's sakes, mm-hmm. he's hyper aware of how he's perceived. And he's good at reading cues. Unfortunately, not good at reading Zenob's cues. That's the only
one. You're never gonna.
I don't think you can win with her.
No, you can't. Because she's got trust issues. So, even at the end when he said, "This would be bullshit if any guy told you that, unless they're with Kim Kardashian." And I went, oh my God.
No!
Shut up. We don't. That's the thing. There is a feel like, I think when you care about someone, when you really care about someone, you don't lie to them, but you do have moments of sparing their feelings. And when someone, both of these men, they don't seem any type, it seems like they don't care for these women because they don't want to spare their feelings at all.
Either they don't get it, that it's not right to say this, or they can't even understand how either of these women would perceive their act or his words.
Because I personally have been in a situation where a guy's been radically honest with me, and it makes me feel like, I think we feel like, wow, if you could just say that to me so bluntly, you don't care about me. And I think what is fascinating
about
the show.
Did that hurt your feelings though?
Oh, for sure. Very much so. But it's fascinating how these two women take it a totally different way.
Right.
That's what it will be. That's what I'm excited. I don't know if that's the right word, but that's what I'm like. I cannot wait to see how this plays out, which is why I wanted to immediately watch the next episode, but I didn't.
She does ask him, do you have any desire to build with anyone else? And he says, no.
No.
Everyone's attractive. Now, do you believe him there?
No, I think he wants to be on the show.
Oh, I see. So you think he just, okay, got it. So you think he's just marking time with Zenob?
I
could see it.
I think if things fell apart with him and Zenob, and if Matt leaves and then Colleen was single, he would get with Colleen to be on the show. 100%.
Okay. I could buy it.
Because it's all about the show for him.
I think what I do see
But it's
him,
not for Colleen.
No, it's not.
I don't think it's for Colleen
I
at
do
all.
See Cole making an effort trying to break down Zenob's shell.
I think he did it first, but it's who can blame him? It's getting very tiring for him.
And she does say, I'm really scared. I'll give everything I have, but 4 weeks from now, I want you to tell me. That's the thing. I agree with you.
They really both are kind of saying one thing, and then he was trying, but now he's going to stop trying because he's tired of her saying one thing and not acting on it.
And then he basically says, well, what do you want me to say? That I don't have eyeballs, that I don't see anyone with a cute face. So now he's argumentative.
Yeah.
And this is actually where Zenob functions best, in this realm where she just kind of shuts down. And it's just gross after this. Let's talk about
Colleen and Matt.
Oh my God.
So again, we missed something. We missed something because they are sitting down there eating.
They're already pissed.
He's furious. He's livid.
And he's like, so you and Cole were talking. Already, y'all, we haven't seen this, Matt.
No.
We have not seen this, Matt. And she said, all I said was, you're a cute guy. And in the real world, we would talk or something like that. And he says, not going to play me. I've been played before.
And he really goes off. Again, if you watch the conversation, yeah, you could tell that she was attracted to him, but she wasn't. I don't feel like she was flirting with him.
I don't think she was either. I think she was responding in kind when a man does that, which I don't think she was going back. I think she was. I think it's the
but
same.
Matt feels like she should have had this like declaration of saying, nope.
Yeah. And he's upset that she didn't say, that's my man, which is ridiculous because.
My man's gone.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So she's crying. She's like, I need a minute.
She's like, I need a minute because Matt says, I would have shut this down. And so he's like, so you're going to tell me you love me. And she's like, I only have eyes for you. And he says, stop. This is ridiculous. This is. And Colleen says, look, it's honestly a red flag more for Matt, because Colleen says,
100%. Yes.
Because it shows how he's going to deal with conflict. Cause Colleen says, I was straight up. And she said, I didn't know how to correct the situation. And the fact that Matt has no empathy, that this is a weird situation that they're in. It's like Matt and Colleen expect them to act like the way people do in the real world in high school. Like when your high school girlfriend talked to another guy.
That's what's happening with him, because he knew his wife in high school.
I know. Yes. So it's going back. But that was different. This, to me, I feel like I would say, wow, that's got to be weird for you to care about somebody. You care about me more. But the problem is Matt, I guess, didn't care about anybody else except for Colleen.
Yeah. And then what he says, he's like, you're going to tell me you love me, then tell someone else they're attractive. So that's it. The point is, he heard that she said that he was attractive. And to Matt, he's projecting of maybe his ex said someone else was attractive, and then the next day she was pregnant by him. Which is not fair by any means to put that on Colleen.
No.
And he's like, I'm going to get played. I'm out. It's very simple. Take this mic off of me. And Colleen's like, I don't want him to leave. So now Colleen has to be the one to kind of lower herself and beg her partner to stay on the show, which sucks.
I don't really think she did anything wrong.
No. No, I don't either. Yikes. This was a really ugly side of Matt to see.
It was not a great side of Matt to see.
Again, yikes.
We were wrong.
That's the show. This was a long one. There was a lot that happened in this episode.
There was a lot that happened. Y'all, because it's the best season of Love is Blind yet so far.
I think it might be.
Oh, stop saying it might be. It is.
We talked about it for an hour and a half. You throw away qualifications like crazy, and I like to be deliberate about it.
Oh, that is not true. You do the same thing, y'all.
So-and-so needs an Emmy, as you're fond of saying.
It's true. Love After Lockup does need an Emmy, y'all.
Oh, God.
Y'all, which, by the way, if you're new here, welcome to Love is Blind. Welcome to a lot of you that jumped on this Love is Blind bandwagon. Now, look, I'm not trying to upsell y'all. I'm not trying to be like that, like Carrie at the Tupperware party. But I am saying, y'all, for $3 more a month, not only do you get our shows for commercial free, but for $8 in total, you get Love After Lockup, and it's the best fucking show on television.
It's really, really good.
It's even better than Love is Blind.
Sign me up today.
Anyway.
Disgusting.
I'm just saying. What? I'm just telling people it's out there. You advertise your ass, I advertise our show.
Mm, true. That's right, because for $5, they can have you, and for $8, they can have me.
Wow. Over and over and over again. All right, everybody. That's the show. That's Love is Blind. God. Thank you all for tuning in. Go to our website, realitygaze.com. Y'all know the drill. Go Instagram. We got memes, TikToks, Reality Gaze, all that good stuff. Thank you again for joining, being on Reality Gaze Plus. We appreciate you, y'all. And Poodle, shouldn't we, no matter where we're talking about feelings, emotions, we're talking about no matter what, I think the main question we always need to keep asking ourselves is what, Poodle?
Is love.